Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Hebrews, and today I want to continue to look at what the writer of Hebrews taught about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. So let's open our Bibles and read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 again together. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory, and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. Now, on the last broadcast, we were looking at just what the writer of Hebrews was teaching in these four verses about how superior Jesus is to everything else and anyone else under the Old Covenant. And last time, we were going over the significance of attaching our obedience to Jesus with the concept of our love for Jesus. We must remember, dear friends, that love is not simply a word. Love is an act of our will. It is something that we do regardless of how inconvenient it might be or how much it may cost us. For example, a mother proves her love for her child when she stays awake all night, rocking the child as it suffers through a fever. A father proves his love for his family when he goes to work even though he hates his job and might even be sick. It doesn't matter to that mother how much sleep she is losing, and it does not matter to that father that he has a jerk for a boss. The love for the child motivates the mother to sacrifice her own well-being, and the love for his family prompts the father to sacrifice for his family. That is an example of love. Conversely, a woman who does not tend to her sick child would be hard-pressed to tell me that she loves it. And the Bible says that any father who will not gladly lay down his life to provide for his own family is worse than an unbeliever. So love for Jesus involves personal sacrifice. It demands self-denial. It expects joyful suffering. And if you consider the fact that we were lost and headed for hell anyway, whatever Jesus may demand from us should be just fine. You see, we are blessed by God's mercy to even be saved to begin with, so who are we that we would ever complain about the straightness of the path or the narrowness of the gate? But love also involves value. So if we value Jesus, then we will obey Him. And if we do not obey Jesus, it is because we have robbed Him of that value and we have placed that value on something or someone else. And that is the classic definition of idolatry. And no one should ever think that an idolater is exercising love for God. But how do we know whether we're really obeying Jesus if we don't know what Jesus has said? How do you know to start or to stop something if you don't know the words that came out of Jesus' mouth? Should we think that we could just wing this? Are we to believe that we are supposed to get some kind of tingling up and down our spine or some other sensation about what is or what is not God's will? No. Knowing God's will is not some mystical manifestation. It is much simpler than that. We know God's will only to the degree that we know God's word. And God has been crystal clear about this, dear friends. God expects, yea, God demands, that every single born-again believer, old or young, male or female, educated or uneducated, God expects them to read and study His Word so that we will know what God's will is. And when we know, we are then to pray and seek God for strength and mercy and grace to actually obey that will by and through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, all to God's glory. And that is what the Bible calls walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is not some existential experience. It is nothing more nor less than walking in humble submission and obedience to the Word of God, which is the product of the Spirit of God. So we prove our love for God through our obedience to God. Now, under the Old Covenant, the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 1, verse 1, that God's Word and will was revealed to the fathers in the prophets. And even though that old revelation was incomplete and partial, it was nevertheless required of all believers back then to live their lives in humble submission and obedience to the 39 books of the Old Testament. And now that God speaks to man through the superior method of using his own Son, as Hebrews 1 verse 2 says, those of us who believe today are now required by God to prove that love by walking in humble submission and obedience to all 66 books of the Holy Bible. To live our lives in direct rebellion to what the Bible says is to testify unmistakably that you do not love Jesus and that you value almost anything more than you value Jesus Christ. And you can stick your hands up in the air all you want to, and you can fall on the floor, and you can speak in tongues, and you can get baptized, and you can give money, and you can preach till the cow comes home. But if your life is in consistent and constant rebellion and opposition to the Word of God, then you are not loving and you are not worshiping Jesus Christ. Now, in John chapter 8, Jesus had a very momentous confrontation with the unsaved and unbelieving Jews who should have been the very ones to have known him. And yet, they are the ones who completely rejected Jesus, precisely because they rejected what he said. And I want you to listen to what Jesus said to these people. Like, for example, in verse 37, where he said, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now listen to verses 42 through 45. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. So Jesus taught that rejecting what he said was the same thing as rejecting himself. So to deny what Jesus says is to deny him. To live contrary to the way that Jesus said to live is to reject the life and the power and the glory and the peace and the joy and the stability and the anointing that Jesus brings to those who are saved. You see, dear friends, it is either all or nothing. Either you love Jesus and keep his commandments, or else you don't love him at all, and you don't serve him at all, and you don't know him at all, and therefore you do what is right in your own eyes. You see, there is no such thing as anybody knowing Jesus at arm's length. You cannot know Jesus apart from his word being alive and active and vibrant and moving in you, and a part of you, and governing and disciplining and ordering your life. Now, all throughout history, Jesus has been called many things. Some have called him a revolutionary, when in fact he was the most conformed person who ever lived. Others called him a political anarchist, but in fact, Jesus said that his kingdom was not of this world. Some said Jesus was the first hippie. In fact, Jesus never rebelled against his father or his father's authority a single time. He has been called a good example, and he good example he is, but he was much more than a good example. He's been called a teacher, and never has there been a more excellent teacher than he, but again, he was more than just a teacher. You see, Jesus didn't just talk about truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus didn't talk about love. Jesus is love. Jesus didn't talk about faithfulness. He is faithful because Jesus is God. Jesus Christ is God Almighty wrapped in human flesh. And I know that that offends many in the modern church to say that, but it is true. Jesus was the most unique person in all of human history. No one was ever like him, and no one will ever be just like him. He was the one and only of the Father. He was both the first and the last. He is both the Alpha and the Omega. He is both the beginning and the end. He is both the Lion and the Lamb. He is both the firstborn among many brethren and the only begotten of the Father. He is both Savior and Judge. He is both Lord and Apostle. He is both Redeemer and Intercessor. He is both High Judge and Advocate. Jesus stands ready to receive all who will turn away from sin and unconditionally surrender all to Him. And this same Jesus is also standing with eyes burning like flames of fire, with a sharp two-edged sword going out of His mouth against those who won't. Jesus is the only man who was prophet, priest, and king. He is the only man who never sinned. He is the only man who perfectly kept all of His Father's law. And it is His righteousness that will allow any of us to go to heaven. It is His mercy that draws us to Himself. It is His grace that will redeem our hearts. It is His blood that will wash us clean. So do you hear Jesus today? Let me show you how much better it is with Jesus than it was under the first covenant. The Old Testament tells us in at least two places, in Jeremiah 23 and Amos 3, that the prophets were let in on the secrets of God. 1 Peter 1:10 and 11 tells us that many times these great prophets penned down things of God without even understanding what they wrote. Let's read that passage together. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicated as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. So we can see that even though God spoke to the fathers and the prophets in great mysteries, now in Jesus Christ, all of those things are both fulfilled and understood. And that is because Christ is God's final word. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 to read further about this. For as many as are the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Therefore also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now this verse tells us that every promise of God revolves itself around the person of Jesus Christ. This verse says that all of God's promises become yes. In other words, they become verified and fulfilled in and by and through Jesus Christ. So they that are Christ's have access to all the promises of God by virtue of the fact that they are in Jesus, while those outside of Jesus Christ have access only to torment, pain, misery and suffering, and at the end, eternal damnation. You see, in these last days, God is speaking to us by His Son. Now, I want you to read Mark 9, 1 through 8. And Jesus was saying to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." 6 days later, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, and brought them up on a high mountain by themselves, and He was transfigured before them, and His garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. When Jesus came to the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, God identified Jesus as being the only one that He wanted these men to listen to. So I ask you again, do you hear Jesus? Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Hebrews. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.